And welcome to the D Show. And our next guest went through the bar mitzvah, celebrated Hanukkah, Yom Kippur, and he is to tell us about his journey to where he's at today. Started with Judaism, and he ended up, it's a surprise, when we come back, many of you guessed it already. Those that haven't, sit tight. We'll be right back here on the D Show.
This is the D This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings and peace.
Wa alaikum assalam, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, Pass. Stanford Pass?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Alhamdulillah, we're here in New Jersey. So you were born in New Jersey?
No, actually I was born in St. Louis, Missouri. Moved around the country a lot. Moved to New Jersey in 1966 when I was a senior in high school. Then my life became like an odyssey, a lot of traveling. Came back to New Jersey most recently after the death of my father. May Allah shine on his grave. He said he saw the light, he saw that Muhammad was a prophet, and he saw that the Torah and the gospel both came from the same one God before he passed. So I came up here to be with my mother and to help her, who just passed away 3 weeks ago. So I came up here to be near my family.
You just gave away the surprise. Everybody's figured it out already.
There's more surprises.
All right. So, bar mitzvah. Most people have no idea. What does that mean? You are bar mitzvah.
Plain English, when a Jewish boy turns 13, he's considered a man. I guess because puberty's setting in the old days, and you're 13, it's about time to get married and take a plow and go down to the South 40 and go live your life when you're a young teenager in the old days. But now it's more of a traditional symbolic gesture where the young man is called up to the Torah, reads a portion, and then he's considered a man. In the Jewish faith, you need 10 people to pray. So if he goes to the temple at the prayer time, he counts after that.
And now I also mentioned the Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah?
Hanukkah is celebrated around the same time as Astagfirullah, Christmas. It is not the same holiday at all. There was a battle. The Maccabee brothers were fighting a tyrant. They were cornered in a place where there was only enough oil in a lamp to last a day, and Allah made it last 8 days. So, alhamdulillah, that's what they celebrate. But nowadays it's been kind of degenerated into a materialistic thing with presents to compete with what else is going on in the world. But it was originally a holiday to celebrate a victory, a military victory that was a miracle.
And also Yom Kippur. What is this?
Yom Kippur follows Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the new year. Then there's 10 days of atonement. And then there's one day of fasting, Yom Kippur, which is the day of atonement, where the Jews stand most of the day in the temple. They fast from the night before to the following evening. And it's the only fast in the religion that I'm consciously aware of. And they're asking God to forgive them and to be written in the book of life for the coming year. That was what Yom Kippur is.
So we pretty much know that Jews, they end up believing in the prophets up until Moses. They full stop there.
Yes, they do a full stop at Moses.
And then from there they reject Jesus, peace be upon him, and Muhammad.
At best, they say Jesus was a great teacher. At worst, I don't even want to mention it.
Okay. And then Muhammad, they also don't accept.
I don't even want to go there. I mean, no.
Yeah.
But these aren't, you see, just like in Islam, where I'm only a 5-year revert, so I can't quote chapters and verses, but I remember some of the stories. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that there would be 70 misguided sects in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And the only straight path is the straight way, Quran and Sunnah without innovation. So when I first became Muslim, I said, oh great, I thought I was home free, I became Muslim, this is it, home base. And they said, no, this is where you start learning. You have a long way to go.
Jews, they stop at Moses.
Yes.
Christians go ahead.
Yes.
And they elevate Jesus to God.
Yes.
But you ended up accepting Jesus.
Yes.
And as a Jew, you ended up, you know, accepting Jesus and Muhammad, and now you're Muslim today.
Yes.
I was in a Christian monastery during my search. I was on a hippie farm. I did some Eastern meditation in my search for the truth. When I was 14 years old, two things happened. Most of the hair fell out of me. That's why I don't have a beard. If I could grow hair, I'd have a beard that I have to put in my pocket. But Allah gave me a few whiskers since I became Muslim, but I haven't grown hair on my body since I was about 20. So it's encouraging, though. I read that the people of Jannah have no hair, so maybe I don't know, He separated me from the... When it first happened, it was very terrible. I was a teenager. Teenagers can be very tough on you. But now, as you know, when I grew up and became a man, it became popular to shave your head. And now as a Muslim, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I've been married twice, have two grown sons. One is Muslim, the one who led me to Islam.
So he accepted Islam before you.
You're older about Islam.
But the two things that happened when I was 14 is, one, I lost all my hair. Two, President Kennedy was assassinated. And I was watching the TV and I could tell they were lying to us about what happened. I saw pictures that didn't coincide with the story. So at that point in time, I knew that something was going on that was fishy. And that began my search for truth. What's really going on in the world? What's really going on in life? And I started looking behind the scenes of everything that was happening in the world and found out that there's a reality going on that most people know nothing about, and the rest is an illusion that's been created that we live in. And when I finally got to the point of when 9/11 happened, then it got to the point where I realized the illusion even extends to God. Not that he can be touched by it, but people can. People can be influenced by media, by stories, propaganda, and so forth. So that is very much of a reason why I was in a position where Allah allowed me to become Muslim, because my mind was open. I wasn't into peer pressure because of the hair. I was into finding the truth because of Kennedy's assassination. And I wasn't letting any fences in front of me or peer pressure or anything stop me from getting to where I wanted to be, which was, I wanted to know, why am I here? Why am I alive? Now, for a lot of people, they didn't have as intense or as heavy experiences growing up. So a lot of people who may have had a very sheltered life may look at me and go, well, you know, that's good for you. When people say to me, I'm glad you finally found something in your life that works for you, it feels like I'm in a burning building. And I found the fire escape. And I'm telling people around me, there's a fire escape right here. And they're going, I'm glad you found something that works for you. And I'm telling you, it's like, but you can't, all we're here to do is convey the message. Allah knows best.
Now, your story doesn't stop there. You also spent, before we go to break, tell us, you also spent some time in a monastery.
Yes. When I left the farm, I was hitchhiking around, and I was in Chicago. And I saw a brother, a young man, doing some exercise on the beach, but I saw some light around him. And I said, where are you from? Who are you? And he said, I'm with this holy order. So I went back to his house with him, and where there was a monastery, and I didn't leave for 3 years. And I was sent around to different places around the country. And they were teaching, it was called Pauline Catholic, and I don't even know what that really means. I guess that because they base it on Paul, and they were teaching the Christian mysteries, so to speak. But it was the Trinity was involved, and anyway, I heard about the Eastern Meditator, and then I left the monastery, went to do Eastern meditation, got married during that time for 21 years, had two sons. So I've been searching for the truth since I was 14, and look at us now.
We're going to be right back with this incredible story. We got to go to break, and we'll be right back here live in New Jersey with our special guest here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
back here on the Dean Show with Brother Pass. That's your last name?
Yes.
And tell us a little bit more, for those people that don't know, you know, about Judaism. What were some of the beliefs, and why didn't you stick with those beliefs?
Well, the basic belief of Judaism is the same basic belief of Christianity and Islam. It's monotheism. From the time I could hear and understand English, I heard, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one," when I would go on Friday night to the temple with my family. I'm eternally grateful to my parents for putting monotheism into my head and my heart at such an early age. In Judaism, there are sects, as we all know, in all the religions, ranging from way out Orthodox to way out Reform. So you've got extremes on both ends, and then you've got a lot in the middle. I was raised in what they call conservative Judaism, which was kind of Judaism American style. Judaism kind of watered down. It didn't practice all the laws, and my mother kept a kosher home, so that's like halal. I ate halal, like kosher food, all my life. She lit the candles on Friday night. There were celebrations at the dining room table. Family was a big deal, always a big deal, which is the same as in Islam. But I mean, in the original commandments of the Torah, there's like 10 basic commandments, and then there's like 613 other commandments. And the priesthood of the Jewish people during that time, the rabbis were getting really corrupted and holding people's feet to the fire about every little thing, and really making a killing on sacrifices and so forth, like the money changers at the temple that Jesus turned over when he came, peace be upon him. So when Jesus came, peace be upon him, I learned he's the last prophet to the Jews and the Messiah of the Old Testament. He wasn't the world prophet. He was the last one that came for the Jews. And that's even explained in some places in the New Testament. A Canaanite woman comes to him and says, "Would you heal my daughter?" And he said, "I just came for the lost tribe of Israel. I didn't come for you." And then she humbles herself and says something, and he heals her daughter by the power of Allah. And so to me, Jesus, peace be upon him, did not come to start a religion. To me, in reality, there is no such thing as Christianity. It's an illusion. People created it. Jesus did not create Christianity, peace be upon him. It was created after him. It was a brand. It's a moneymaker. There were sincere people involved, but the ones who really juiced it and turned it into a big business, what can I say? May Allah guide them. But in order to be Muslim, it's like I didn't renounce Moses or renounce Jesus. I just backed up and read the last chapter of the three-volume set, and I accept them all. I accept them all. And that doesn't mean I follow the 613 commandments of the Old Testament. When a new covenant is made, the old covenant is not necessary anymore. What I follow now is the Quran and the Sunnah, which is the updated Sharia. The Ten Commandments were Sharia. The Gospel was Sharia.
Yes.
Sharia just means what? Passageway to water? The God's law. It's God's law.
Yes.
So the God's law now is in the Quran. When people get attached to the prophets, or get attached to the book, or get attached to the religion, it's like waving the flag at summer camp. My cabin can beat your cabin. It's not about that. It's about following God, not following a prophet, not following a religion, but following where God's leading. And God led me from my Jewish roots, which, being born Muslim, of course, at first, with the fitra and all, but then being raised Jewish, and then going through everything I went through, was like a loss, like sped up my just took me around the block. Allah took me around the block and dropped me off where I belong. Because I love God, I've always loved God. I love the truth, I've always loved the truth. And so Allah said, meet your family, meet the people that are following me that are in real time.
Yes.
That are in real time. This is real time. In video, you've got real time. Not tape, not, you know, if this was live, it's not live. But real time is now. Right now, this is the Ummah of God. It's the Ummah of Muhammad, but it's the believers in the one God.
Yes.
Doing it the way he said to do it.
Yeah. So tell us now, we know that we as Muslims, we truly want the best for all of mankind. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew watching this, a Christian, whoever's out there. We know that the last and final messenger, peace be upon him, we see from his tradition, even when there was a Jewish funeral, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, he stood up, and his companion said, this is a Jewish man. He said, is that not a soul? Right?
Right.
So definitely, right. Now we also see through history, and can you explain to us, it's different coming from someone who was formerly from the Jewish background. We see at the time, because a lot of this conflict, this is something new now, but way back in the day, didn't Muslims, when Jews were being persecuted, and we have a famous rabbi who's out there today, he's an Orthodox rabbi, Rabbi Weiss, and he talks about this, and a lot of the Orthodox rabbis, they talk about how, you know, the Muslims would babysit the Jewish people's kids, they fled persecution, you know, the Jews and Muslims protected them. Can you talk about this? And these are
I have a picture on my Facebook wall of an old Jewish man with the black hat and the black coat and a beard walking arm in hand, holding hands with an Arab, a Palestinian Arab wearing the cloth on the head with the ring around it and the thobe.
Yeah.
This is what was circa 1923. All right, here's what happened. World War I was going on. There were a group of German Jews who were Zionists who had emigrated from a place called Khazaria, which is Eastern Europe. It was a mass conversion of whatever they were before to Jews. They're Ashkenazi Jews, Eastern European Jews. All right. Among those Jews, there was a small group of them that were like, had to control everything. Small group of them. And they still exist, and they are controlling. Allah's allowing it. And these people went to England and said to England, we can help you win World War I. They were in World War I. They said, we can help you win World War I. We can get the United States involved. So England says, yeah, what do you want? The Zionists said, we want Palestine. Okay? Not as a homeland. The storyline is as a homeland for the Jews. What's really going on is something else, which I won't go into right now. But so it was called the Balfour Declaration, 1917. Where England gave Palestine to the Zionists, but it wasn't theirs. It's like if I gave him this jacket. This is your jacket. I can't give, especially, you know, well, I can't do that. I can't take your jacket. But Palestine didn't have guns, you see. Britain had a lot more guns than Palestine. So Britain says, sure, we'll give you Palestine, which wasn't theirs to give. And that was the beginning. And then all the people that I grew up thinking were heroes who built Israel had really decimated the Palestinian people. And just as a footnote, my parents are good and decent people. They were in the dark. They didn't know. A lot of American Jews have no idea what's really going on. So since the Balfour Declaration, this whole thing about babysitting the kids while the other ones would go to pray and being next door neighbors, Jews and Arabs and Muslims and Jews, that went away. And all of a sudden you've got a political agenda which has nothing to do with the religion, ID thefting the place called Israel and saying this is the Jewish homeland. When in truth, Semite is someone from Southwest Asia. Most of the people in Israel are from Eastern Europe. They're not from Southwest Asia. If they want a homeland, they could go to Southwest Asia. The Semites are the Palestinians. They're from that area. They're from Southwest Asia, which is that whole what they call the Middle East.
Yeah.
So there's been a tremendous bait and switch kind of thing happen. And it's been political, and it's got bigger ramifications as we approach the hour.
Now, when we come back, we want to also find out what actually at the end Now you went from Judaism, father, mother, Jewish. We talked about the Hanukkah, the Bar Mitzvah. You did all that. And now you're actually a Muslim, one who submits to the Creator alone, not the creation. You believe in Jesus, Moses, and the last and final message of Prophet Muhammad. You're a Muslim.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. We're going to be right back with more to hear this incredible story here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show with this incredible story of Brother Pass, father, mother. Your father actually, your son first accepted Islam.
Yes.
And your father also accepted Islam?
Yes. He did not have time in his life to openly practice it. He was dying.
Yeah.
But he declared his understanding and his acknowledgement and his belief that there is only one God, which he believed all his life, and that Muhammad truly was a prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that the Torah and the Quran both came from the same God.
You have, instances where many Jewish scholars, one in particular, during the last and final message of Prophet Muhammad's time, he was one of the chief rabbis at that time. He also was someone who was familiar. You know about the story? Yes.
Yes.
So that reminds us now that, you know, any sincere person, whether he be a Jew, a Christian, anybody, who's looking for the truth, as this particular person, when he saw the signs of Prophet Muhammad, he came, investigated, and he was the chief rabbi at that time, and he accepted that Muhammad, peace be upon him, was the last final messenger. But now for those Jews that are out there, according, because they're waiting for the Messiah, right? Which we believe Jesus, peace be upon him, is the Messiah. But now, according to the Christian description, of course they were going to reject him, because now they look at him as a literal son of God, as a God. But do you feel now if the Jews would really look into Islam to see the description that we have of Jesus, that they would actually accept him and then move on to Muhammad, peace be upon him? You get the point?
Yes, I do. And from my experience with Dawah, what I have to say is this. You can have every fact, you can have every piece of information just right. You can present it like a champ. You can present it that would put a smile on the Prophet's face, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
But
guidance is in the hands of Allah. But let's say there is that those few sincere people.
Yes.
Let's describe now what was the description of what the Christians are describing. So now someone, if he's sincerely looking at that, he's going to reject that as a Messiah. But the Islamic view, right, of what Jesus is,
right,
that sincere person, if he's a Jew and he's out there and he's like, this guy's Jewish, I'm having some trouble here, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it looks like, you know, something's pointing him in the Islamic direction. Right, he wants to move on.
Right.
So maybe
attached to his preconceived notions.
Yes.
And if he looks with an objective eye and an open heart, he'll see it. Unless Allah for some reason has something over his eyes because of something that we don't know is in his heart. But if his heart is pure, if his tazkiyah is clean and his heart is sound and his mind is objective, he will see it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's not common. May Allah help this to become more common. I don't know the chapters and verses, but my understanding is that when Jesus returns, peace be upon him, that a lot of Jews will accept him and will understand who he is. I guess, you know,
yes.
Something like that happens, what are you going to do? You're going to say, I still don't believe.
Yeah.
Some may, I don't know. But from what I understand, they're going to have an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I want to be part of that. When I became Muslim, before I became Muslim, I was a caricature artist. I used to draw people's faces. I used to make a lot of good money doing that at parties and things like that. When I became Muslim, they said, you can't do that anymore. You can't draw faces. I said, well, I was making good money. When you give up something for the sake of Allah, he'll give you something better. So I moved from the little town in Arkansas, where I lived up in the hills, and I moved to Jonesboro, which was the nearest community of Muslims, Islamic center of Jonesboro. Say hey to Imam Rahman Harvey out there in Jonesboro. It was Arkansas State University was there. And That's where I found out I could go back to college for free, because they give, it's called the Silver Scholar Program, and they give free tuition to people over 60. So I said, alhamdulillah, I can finish college and show this degree to my father, whose heart I broke when I dropped out of college 45 years ago. He was lying on his deathbed, and I showed him the degree, and the look on his face was priceless. And then he told my son and me that he understood what we were saying. So there was a tremendous amount of love in letting go and opening there. So, did I answer your...
Yes, absolutely. We're almost out of time. So now that you're a Muslim, is it so far off now for somebody who would have to, someone of the Jewish background, and now the person is sincere, what would they have to do? What are the things that you had to do now to end up becoming a Muslim? So we talked about in the beginning, okay, the Jews, they stop at Moses, right? But you cannot reject, if God sent Jesus, which he did, not as a God or a literal son of God, you cannot reject Jesus and now say you're obeying God, because if God sent a messenger, so you'd have to accept Jesus and Muhammad as the last. Let's talk about this, the importance of this.
Okay. There are so many versions of the New Testament out there. It's a challenge. And there are so many sects of Jews and Christians that it's a challenge to try to sync up with someone, because there are some Christians who don't worship Jesus, and there are, most of them do. There are some Christians who don't believe in the Trinity, and there are some Christians that do. Yes. So one of the basic points when I'm having dawah with a Christian is, number one, they start cracking on the women wearing things on their head. I said, did you ever see a picture of Mary? Peace be upon her, may Allah be pleased, with her head uncovered? Did you ever see a picture or a statue of Miriam? May Allah be pleased with her head uncovered? No. Well, what's this with you having multiple wives? I said, Abraham had multiple wives, Solomon had multiple wives, Islam didn't invent multiple wives. You know, every time, you know, it comes on. What about stoning people for adultery? I'm going, you know, this was meant to be a strong deterrent. If you look at the parameters for that, it's like very unlikely you're going to get four witnesses and all this other. It's a strong deterrent. It's not meant to be a weekly event after Juma, you know. So, but a lot of the people in the world, they have concepts because they believe the media. Just like people believe what the doctors tell them, instead of going to nature or going to natural remedies, they'll go to pharmaceuticals. Instead of going to the source, I tell people they need the authentic, beneficial knowledge. You know, it's just like saying there's 2,000 architects and engineers on the internet that all say 9/11 was a controlled demolition.
What caught my eye is more than 1,300 architects and engineers examine the evidence about Building 7's collapse and disagree with the official report issued by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. I certainly am much more open-minded about it than I was, and it is because of the involvement of the 9/11 families and all these engineers and architects.
You are about to hear from architect of 23 years, Richard Gage, AIA, member of the American Institute of Architects and founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Now there are more than 1,500 architects and engineers who say that it could not have been brought down by office fires. They are backed by 9/11 family members. We're calling for an independent, unbiased investigation.
I'm a family member trying to find out the answers to the murder of 3,000 plus people. The bottom line is that it needs to be investigated properly.
Please look at architects and engineers. People all around the world, scientists all around the world are questioning this. And there's some deep, deep explaining to do.
It took some kind of consciousness raising on my part before I was willing to look at the possibilities. And really, you need to go where the evidence leads.
As an engineer, I have 3 degrees in engineering. I signed that petition for architects and engineers for 9/11 truth some time ago because the American people absolutely need the truth of 9/11.
Look at the evidence. In fact, I'll say this very categorically. any reasonable person who looks at the evidence that's been brought forward has got to come away with the feeling that something has to be done, a real investigation has to be put forward.
We will never heal. This country will never, ever, ever forget that day. We have to demand a new investigation. I want justice here.
And there's still people, those doggone Muslims did it. You know, it's just like some people just won't. And so all I'm trying to do is hone my skills to be the best conveyor of the message that I can be. That's all I can do, and make dua for them. That's powerful. I heard something recently that says dua can change destiny. To think of that, it's like I want to make more dua, because there's so many people I want to help, but you can't help them on this plane, but you can make dua for them, and it can it's very powerful, because you got Allah then working on your side for that person too.
Before we go, also, you mentioned some of the misconceptions and, you know, people that they quote things out of context. What about now with all the hype, with all of the attacks on Islam and people showing a fringe element, a group of extremists, and they're now portraying? What do you get hit with this a lot?
Sure I do. I tell people that ISIS is to Islam what meat glue is to filet mignon. Okay?
Now, explain what meat glue is for people that have no idea.
Meat glue is that stuff they create nowadays. It's kind of like the pink slime they make McNuggets out of, only it's red meat instead of pink slime. They take scraps from the machines on the floor, and they use some kind of a chemical adhesive that's digestible, and they shape it into steak and shape it into things. You got to really keep an eye on things. And that's why it's such a blessing. Allah knew what the food supply was going to happen, and He made halal for us. And He knew. So I tell people to do some research. I tell people to do some homework. Don't believe everything they see in the media. Don't believe anything they see in the media without doing some research. That's what I tell people to do. And depending on where they're at, I say different things to different people.
Now, you also had did you have that special message you wanted to share with the world that we had talked about?
I wanted to express gratitude to my family, to my parents, for putting me on the path of monotheism when I was a little boy. And I'm eternally grateful for that. And they did the best they could with what they had.
What do you have, last closing comments and suggestions for the people who are searching for what you were searching for? You went all around, basically, you know, the world almost, searching for the truth, and you found it. For the individuals that are out there who are searching, and now they're kind of stuck, but they've tuned on to the Deen Show, what advice would you have?
Okay, lose your hair, be a hippie. No. It's different for everybody. Pray to God to help you, to guide you. That's what it's about. The name of this channel is so appropriate, because we ask Allah to guide us. How many times a day? This is the most powerful thing we can do, is we can ask Allah to help us. We make dua to be kept on the straight. It's all in the first chapter. It's all in Al-Fatiha. It's all there. It's all there. I couldn't say it any better. Of course not.
Thank you very much for being with us. Thank you.
Jazakallah khair. Yeah. May Allah reward you greatly for this, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. You're welcome. And thank you for tuning on to the Deen Show, and everybody who's with us here in New Jersey, continue to tune on. And anybody that's out there that's searching for the truth, ask the one who created you, who created the hearts, to guide your heart. It doesn't matter if you're from a Jewish background, Christian, Hindu, it doesn't mean that you now have the opportunity. If you're searching sincerely for the purpose of life, why you've been creating, why you're here, ask the one who created you, and He will definitely make the way clear. And we'll see you next time here on the Deen Show. Same time, same channel. Subscribe now if you haven't already. Follow us, Facebook, Twitter. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you.
Please subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.